series, and the series is called The Lord Saves. And so last week was The Lord Saves Part 2. And what we talked about was salvation through formation. And we talked about several different things, but diamond formation, it was one of the examples that we brought up as how it takes a lot of pressure for a diamond to be formed. And so we left you with these major three steps to know in your process of salvation. Basically, the premise of the message is that some salvations and deliverance are a process. It's not overnight. So we left you with these three things. Number one, stay in his will. Number two, stay on his will. And number three, trust his hands. And so that's what we left you with. And so we're moving today into The Lord Saves Part 3, the third part of a four-part series. And today is salvation by simplification. And so every week we've been talking about the actual meaning of salvation and the meaning of God's name or Jesus' name, which is God rescues. Or so when you see the Lord saves, you are understanding that God rescues. But what we're saying is that he rescues or he saves or he delivers in different ways. And here we're going to talk about him delivering through simplification. And so we just talked about the deaths that's going on in the land, and we made an appeal. Our condolence clerk made an appeal to basically to make sure that you have salvation. And we did it that way purposely because we're not one of those churches that try to scare you into salvation. We're not one of those churches that try to always gimmick you into salvation. And basically what I'm saying is, oftentimes, churches have overcomplicated the salvation message and how God saves and how God delivers. In other words, you got to spin around three times and throw salt over your shoulder and God will change your life. Nah, we're not getting into all that stuff. And you got to buy, I'm going to come in on TV and say, you got to buy this green miracle water. We're not getting into all of that stuff. It's a lot more simple than what people want you to think. It's not even one of those things that you have to wait to the end of the service to get saved. You can get saved right where you are in the pew. You don't even need a church to get saved. When I rededicated my life, I wasn't in the church. I was in a dorm room, but God touched my life. It's really simple, but the church has to be okay with the simplification of the salvation message. Oftentimes, people think you got to get saved the way I got saved. And if you don't get saved the way I got saved, you don't have salvation. So we complicate things and we got to say you need to clean your life up and get yourself in the church. No, there's no scripture that says you got to clean up before you come to the house of God. You just got to come to the house of God and let God prick your heart. So we need salvation, but we've got to learn how to simplify the message. When I was growing up, you couldn't be saved in a woman wearing makeup. You couldn't be saved in a woman having pants on. All that stuff hindered your salvation. That wasn't in the scripture. That was our own hang-ups. And some folk need some makeup. Some people need, don't stop people from putting on what they need to put on. Some people need it. Don't hinder people doing what they need to do. But we were caught up in our own stuff. And many times still when you go to different churches, it's got to be done this way. You got to be baptized this way or it doesn't work or you got to wear this. And we've got to learn how to simplify the salvation message. So having said that, I've already put it up. We're going to give you the definition of simplify. The definition is to make something simpler or easier to do or understand. You ever been in a church service and everything that was spoken from the pulpit was over your head? He sound like he's talking good, but I don't understand what he's talking about. He's using these big words and saying stuff. Sometimes you got to stop being so cute and just tell it the way it is. Make it plainer, clarify, make more comprehensible, make more intelligible. Remove the complexities from. I like that. Remove the complexities from. Don't make it so complicated. Then it says disentangle, untangle, unravel. All those things are words for simplify. So I want to go to a scripture that I've read before and I've preached it here before, but it took me years to catch how simple the salvation message is, and it's in Acts 16:30. To give you just a little background, Paul and Silas had been preaching in Jesus' name, and they got locked up in a jail cell, and God moved, and they got freed, and everybody in the jail cell began to see the power of God. And this question was asked. Read Acts 16:30.
And brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
So the specific question was asked in the Bible, what must I do to be saved? Well, you better be Southern Baptist. Well, you better be Catholic. Well, you better be United Methodist, or you better be Holy Ghost filled. I wonder what the scripture says. That's the stuff that we say, but what did the Bible say? Read the next verse.
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house."
How did we complicate such a simple message? The simple message, if you want to see him when you die, is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the problem I have. There's a lot of people outside of the church who believe in Jesus, but because of the way the church has treated them, they won't come to the church because they don't feel good enough to worship with you, because we make all these extra hoops. But the Bible says, just believe. Just believe. And I wonder how much more filled would churches be if we stop putting all these rules and regulations and just tell people to believe. Amen. If we just help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so crazy. It says, "You shall be saved and your house." They didn't ask anything about their house, but the truth of the matter is, when God touches you, he want to touch everybody connected to you. And there are people drowning their sorrows in drug addiction because they don't think there's a God that would love them. And here's the church having our services, but we won't reach out to the underprivileged people and let them know God loves you. Elder Melvin just told you he was getting drunk at 6 years old, but now he's in the house of God. I don't care where you've come from. I don't care what your past looked like. I serve a God that's better than tied with bleach. He can wash you. He can clean you. He can turn you around. But his biggest problem is his saints that won't simplify the message. Oh, you need to stop shacking up. You can't be homosexual. You can't do this. You can't do that. Maybe once people get in, they will grow out of some of that stuff. But how about you just let them come in first. Amen. Before you start giving them all these rules and regulations? It's salvation through simplification.
Amen.
A lot of times it's more simple than what we think. We're going to put this acronym up. Some of you people have heard this acronym before. It is KISS, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Now, because I'm your pastor and I don't want to call you names, I'm going to change it. Keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple. It's not that hard. Now, I want to move just beyond the born-again salvation, and I just want to talk about everyday life. Sometimes Christians are just weird. Sometimes you just got to keep it simple. Nobody wants you in the break room speaking in tongues. Just say a prayer and go on about your business. Let your light so shine. You don't have to be so weird. You can be saved and be normal.
Amen.
And now, of course, we are abnormal because we are a part of the kingdom of God, but you don't have to be so weird. And here's the problem with some of us. You've got all these bumper stickers that talk all about Jesus, but you're cutting people off and throwing up the middle finger. That doesn't really reflect what you're talking about. So how about you just live it every day?
Amen.
There's a story that I like. There was a young man who went to church with a friend and got saved. And his father was an atheist. So he came home excited, telling his dad, "Dad, I got saved." And he's like, "Saved? Saved for what?" He said, "I accepted Lord Jesus in my life." He said, "We don't believe in no Jesus and God in this house." And he's like, "But Dad, I got saved." And his dad said, "I don't believe you can be saved for one day." His dad was just crushing his dreams. And then his dad just kept on going. He said, not only that, I don't believe you can be saved for 1 hour. He said, I don't even believe you can be saved 1 minute. And so then the son said, well, dad, can I at least be saved a second? And the dad said, okay, yeah, I guess you could be saved 1 second. And he told his dad, I'll live it second by second by second by second by second. I don't have to get it all right now, but every second I'm going to do my best to live for God. And that in its simple form is salvation. Amen. You're not going to get it all right. You may have to apologize. But if you keep getting up and every second you keep going after God, you are saved. You have salvation. Now, here's the thing. If God allows you to live it second by second, why do you want everybody else to get it overnight? Why does everybody else got to change overnight, but God take you second by second? Isn't it funny that everybody else's sins are big but yours? Now, when they do it, they're wrong. But when you do it, God knows my heart. But if God knows your heart, how about doesn't he know their heart? Let's keep it simple and say, here's the thing. The same God that created us and died for us, he died for us all. He died for Mexicans. He died for Asians. He died for blacks and African Americans. He died for Caucasians. He died for us. And the simple gospel message is that he loved the whole world.
Yeah.
Not just you and your family and your denomination and your political party. He loved the whole world. And that's the simplification of the gospel. And it would help us to be more friendly with one another if we realize the same God that loves me loves them.
Yes.
Now, we may not vote the same, but we still ought to be able to be kind to each other. We're living in a day and age that if you don't agree with what I agree with, I have to hate you and be divisive and be mean and be evil. How about we keep it simple, saints, and show the love of God?
Amen.
I wish we could just get back to simple salvation, kind, loving, caring, being concerned about God. But in church world, it's all this extra stuff that really, let me put it to you this way. If Jesus was to come back, there's a lot of churches he couldn't even go to. When Jesus walked the earth, the religious people didn't like him because he hung out with sinners. And they're like, why are you hanging out with sinners? Well, here's the thing. If I got something that they don't have, why don't I go and help them get what I got?
Amen.
Oh, my God. They smell like marijuana. I can't talk to them. I'm saved and sanctified. Have you ever smoked it yourself? Don't forget where God has brought you from.
Yeah.
Let's keep it simple. All right, let's read in 1 Kings 19 and 1.
Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword.
I'm going to give us a little background. It's interesting, in our early service, Mother Mitchell was sharing, and then she began to actually go right into this. I was like, she's getting ready to get all up in my message. I had to pray that the Lord back her off. She was all up in my stuff. But it was a good confirmation. So what happened was, in the 18th verse, we see Elijah, the man of God, he had made a challenge in Israel to all the prophets of Baal. They had start serving and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And so he made he went directly at them, and it was almost like a standoff. And he said to the Israelites, whosoever God answers by fire, let that person be the real God. And so the 400 prophets and more of the Baal, they begin to set their sacrifice. They begin to cut themselves from morning to evening, crying out. Nothing happened. Then Elijah prayed to his God. The fire fell down, and people knew that that was the real God. And they begin to kill every single one of those prophets. But when that happened, this jellyback king had a demonic wife named Jezebel. And so what happened was, he went home and told his wife about what Elijah did. The next verse.
So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.
Jezebel was not just any queen. She was one of the most wicked, demonic, evil queens of her day. And she made up in her mind, I'm killing Elijah, and let him know I'm killing him. Now, if his God had answered by fire, I'd have backed up and been like, that's the real God. I don't want to mess with him, but she was just a messed up demonic woman. And so she said, Elijah, I'm coming after you. The next verse.
Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there.
So he was afraid and he ran for his life. He was the man of God. He had just seen a great victory. But after he heard what was getting ready to happen to him and he knew how demonic she was, he was afraid. Now, here's something I got to let you know. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you won't get afraid from time to time. When the devil's after you and he's threatening you, you will be fearful from time to time. You got to pull yourself together, but there's nothing wrong with having real, raw emotions. And it's okay to have raw emotions. Let's go to the next verse.
While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness.
So basically, he left his servant there and he went a day's journey into the wilderness. And what did he say?
He came to a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.
Now here he is. He's afraid, but now he's also in despair. He's also in hopelessness. It's amazing how we can be on the mountain one day and down in the dumps the next. And this was his situation. And he's like, just take my life. It's over. I don't need to live. In other words, don't let this woman kill me. Just take me, God. Next verse.
Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, get up and eat.
This is interesting to me. So we see this prophet of God, and he's going through this depressing moment. And we do see something supernatural happen. There's an angel that shows up. But the angel touches him and says something very simple. Get up and eat. Next verse.
He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again.
First thing he did after he wanted to be dead, after he wanted to end it all, the first thing he did is went to sleep. An angel wakes him up and tells him to eat, and then he goes to sleep again. Next verse, verse 7.
The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.
Hold on. Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, he's saying, it's over for me. I'm ready to die. And we don't see God doing some supernatural, powerful thing. Now, there is an angel that shows up, but what he did was really simple. Go to sleep, eat, go to sleep, eat. Let's look at the next verse, verse 8.
So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God.
He was strengthened by that food for 40 days, 40 nights. First thing I want to tell you about simplification, never underestimate the power of a good nap and a good meal. See, everything you don't have to stress about. Sometimes all you need to do is go to sleep. And sometimes in order for God to move, he needs you to shut up and get out of his way. So the best thing and the most anointed thing you can do sometimes is just go to bed. You can't figure it out. You can't fix it. You can't turn it around. So lay down. And when you lay down and get up, just get a snack. Sometimes it's not that deep. Sometimes it's not that dramatic. We like to be all deep and dramatic. Sometimes it's just simple. Ooh, I feel the anointing, God. No, you don't. Your sugar's high. Just take a peppermint. Take a glass of water. Chill out. It's not that deep. Oh, I'm having these nightmares, and I believe that the world is coming to end. No, you just ate something that didn't agree with you, and you slept. Sometimes we just got to be simple. And it's amazing that this guy is ready to die and give it all up. And the angel touches him and is like, go to sleep, eat, go to sleep, eat. And now he has energy. Now, I'm going to put this point up. Number one, salvation and deliverance sometimes is as much practical as it is supernatural. There's an acronym that I love to use. I use this all the time. It's H-A-L-T, which means halt. Be careful when you get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, too tired. The devil loves to attack us when we're in these places. And sometimes we think we're under great demonic attack. And sometimes it is demonic. But sometimes the answer is very simple. You just need some rest. You just need a day off. You just need to call in and have a day for yourself. And Joyce Meyer says, sometimes you got to buy the shoes and eat the cookie. In other words, I know you're on the keto diet, but you're going crazy. Grab a cookie and calm down. Relax. It's not as bad as you think. It's not as supernatural as you think. Some of the stuff is simple and practical. Give you something that happened to my brother. It was very funny. This was when Ray came out, and Jamie Foxx had played Ray. My brother was in college, and he'd seen the movie, and it was a great movie, and he loved the movie. And so he went out and bought all the Ray Charles albums that he could find and was listening to them night and day. And then he calls my uncle one day and says, man, I'm depressed. I don't know what's going on with me. And my uncle started to get ready to pray for him. They said, what have you been doing? He's like, I've been listening to Ray Charles. And my uncle said, do you realize that's called the blues? I don't need to pray for you. Just cut the blues off and automatically you're going to feel better. Oh, I need you to pray for me. My heart's going bad. Stop eating ribs every night. Keep it simple. Some of your problems are not, here's the thing, sometimes Satan is looking and he's saying, God, I didn't do all the stuff them folks saying I did. Some of that is them. Just take a nap, eat right, exercise, and some of your problems will go away. Well, the devil keeps sending me all these bad men and they keep running me through, but you keep going to the bar to find a man. If you would change what you do, you would find out it's not so much supernatural. Some of it is simple and practical. I remember, this is really funny to me. I'm laughing. I'm thinking about my mom. Now, I was one of those kids that, I've told the story before, that I started off by not doing good in my grades. And I found out I was very intelligent, but my sister was so far ahead of me, I just stopped competing with her. And so I just decided I'm going to be the class clown. And so my grades started to slip. So one day we were in a service and my mom nudged me and she's like, you go up there for prayer. I'm like, for what? See, back in the day, you didn't have the choice to go up for prayer for yourself. They made you go up for prayer. So I'm like, what? What am I going up for prayer? She said, go up for your grades. I didn't want to tell her. I can fix my grades. I just don't feel like it. But she wanted me to go up there for my grades. So I went up there and I told the man my grades, but he thought I said migraines, so he grabbed my head and started praying for migraines. I rebuked migraines off of this young boy. Saints, point your hands at him. And I'm thinking, I meant my grades. Now, I've never had migraines, so maybe that helped me, but some stuff is not all supernatural and spiritual. It's just practical. All I needed to do was study more, stop playing in class, and I found out my grades would go up. What are you doing that's really not spiritual or supernatural? What can be fixed in your life by doing something practical? It's through the practical. See, when we do our part, God can often do his part. Now, oftentimes, God will do his part even when we don't do our part. But when we learn to put the two together and do the practical and let him do the supernatural, then we see salvation in its simplification. All right, let's read some more. 1 Kings 19 and 9.
There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah?
What are you doing here, Elijah? Next verse.
He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me too.
What I love about this, and I don't have it in this where you see it on the screen, but later God tells him, I got 7,000 prophets. You're not the only one. But I love the fact that God allows us to talk to him out of our frustration, even though we're wrong. And so what you have to understand is, even in your practicality, it's always good to go back to God and pray. And sometimes you just got to tell him how you feel, even when you're wrong. I'm tired of being the only one. I'm the only one on my job that they keep passing over. You might not be the only one. You might be being dramatic, but God hears it all. He's so good and he's so kind. And sometimes you can just pour out to him. And sometimes the most practical thing you can do is just go to God in prayer. Oh, what needs we often forfeit because we don't bring everything to God in prayer. So even in his messed up state, he got energized and he went back to God in prayer. Next verse, verse 11.
The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.
Now, this is beautiful. God spoke to him and basically saying, I'm going to allow my presence to pass by you. What I need you to do is go up to the mountain, and I'm going to pass by you. The next, actually, this is broken into 11A, B, and C, so let's go to 11B.
Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind.
He tells him, I'm going to allow you to see my presence. Get up on the mountain. He gets up on the mountain. Here comes this wind ripping through, but the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. It would seem like he would have been in the wind, but he was not in the wind. See.
After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake.
Then the ground began to shake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Now, this is interesting. He tells him to go to the mountain, and he's seeing all these supernatural things, but God wasn't in it. Next verse, verse 12.
And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire.
So he sees wind, earthquake, and fire, but the Lord wasn't in any of them. And what was he in?
And after the fire, a still small voice.
He was teaching Elijah a valuable lesson. Yes, I do the supernatural, and yes, I do all of that, but my greatest way to communicate to you is in the still small voice. And while you're looking for the theatrics and looking for the dramatic, oftentimes you miss God because God wants to talk in a still small voice. Now, in my house, if I'm talking in a loud voice, it's only because my kids haven't heard me the first three times I called. And so I'm yelling because they have been ignoring me. And so here's the thing. If you are a part of God, God really doesn't want to have to yell in order to get your attention. He would just like to give you a still small voice. He would like to just prompt you, go here and go there. And sometimes he has to break through and do the supernatural because we don't listen. But if you look at it and we understand the law of first mention, which means the first time something is mentioned is really how God really wanted it to be. The Bible says that God would come down with Adam and Eve and talk with them in the cool of the day. It didn't say there was earthquakes and fire and thunder. His original goal is just to talk to you. But here's the thing. We have to be tuned in to hear what he's saying. Whenever you're driving and you are listening to a radio station and there are competing radio stations, you got to find that perfect channel so that that signal can come in. And God is tired of doing the supernatural just to get you to listen to him. He just wants to nudge you. And here's the thing. This is some of you women will understand this. I learned this in my marriage. Many times wives want you to know what they're thinking without them telling you. I hear my wife saying, amen, just let me preach. You ain't got to do all that. But that's how women are. In other words, learn me. Get to know me, and then you will know. So in other words, don't pull me up to a restaurant I don't like and then say, do you want to eat here? Because the last time I ate there, I threw up, so don't take me back there. And God is sometimes similar. How about you learn my ways? Why is it that I got to give you a dream for you to get out of a bad relationship? How about you learn that when he hits you upside the head for the 17th time, how about you learn it's time to get out of the relationship? Will God give me a sign if he's for me? Look in the mirror and see your black eyes. He's not for you. But God is, he's loving and kind, and so he tries to interrupt. But a lot of times we're just boneheaded, and we're just hard-headed, and we're looking for the theatric, and we want somebody to prophesy over us. And God is saying, you really don't need a prophecy. You really don't need a word. You really don't need to go to a conference. Just sit down and talk to me. I'll talk back to you. Sometimes he just wants you to trust your gut. It's not as deep as you think. Trust your gut. You ever met somebody that says all the right things? You hear all the right things, but down here, something is off. God wants you to trust your gut because he's speaking to you, but it's a still, small voice. And we want all this theatrical stuff, and so this puts me up to point two. Don't miss the simple looking for the deep. Don't miss the salvation through simplification, always looking for the deep and the spooky stuff. I'm so tired of spooky Christians. Just everything doesn't have to be all spooky and weird and deep. Sometimes it's just simple. And sometimes the reason why non-Christians don't want to be Christians is because you scare them away with all your spookiness. There's a time for the Holy Spirit. There's a time for tongues. There's a time for all that. But there's a time to just chill. Heard a story about a man at his job on the break room, and people were playing cards, and him knocking all the cards off the table and telling them, you're going to hell for the cards. Man, if you don't get out of these people's face with your made-up doctrine, let the people play cards. And how about you let your light shine? I don't have to be Holy Ghost Junior. I can let my light shine. On my job, I stopped telling people I was saved, and people would come to me anyway because my light will shine. You don't have to be so deep and spooky. You can be simple and still be effective. Amen. That's why, even though I grew up in a charismatic church and I love the charisma of the charismatic church and I love how I grew up, I still always, when I leave here, I try to give you something practical. I don't want you to say, oh, he preached. Well, what did he talk about? I don't know, but it was good. Ooh, we danced all over the place. That's not going to help you when you're facing divorce court. I don't want you to have some word in you so that you can do it. I don't want you just to have a good, feel-good service. You need some practical stuff that you can apply to your life so you can grow. If I was to tell you that I got $1 million in the safe, and I'm getting ready to give you the code to the safe, and then you say, okay, I'm ready, and I start saying, you're going to put up with that for a while. But after that gets over, you're going to say, can you please give me the code? I'm glad you're happy, and I'm glad you're feeling good, but can you give me something that I can apply to my life? So let me read it again. Don't miss the simple, looking for the deep. I heard a pastor friend of mine say it this way. The problem with a lot of church people is we are drowning in puddles. There's just a little puddle that you're supposed to step over, and we drown in it. We get all lost in it, and it's not that deep. When somebody says, you know what, I believe God's going to bless you to get married one day, and then you run out and you buy a dress and you book. No, slow down. I'm saying I see it for your future. Don't drown in the simple. Take your time. All right, let me put this up. This will really help us. This is a quote that I like to use a lot. I don't know who said it first, so I've got it anonymous, but let me say it this way. The more you walk in principles, the less you'll be in need of miracles. We love the miraculous. God erased a $250,000 debt. That's awesome. But God would rather you not get in the $250,000 debt to begin with. So the more you walk in principles, the less you'll be in need of miracles. Miracles are for crisis times. And God does the miraculous. God uses the miraculous, but they're for crisis times. You can actually walk in principle and never need a miracle. If you are diabetic and you keep going against what the doctor says, you might have to have your leg amputated. And then maybe people are going to be praying that your leg grow back, but it'd be just easier for you to eat right to begin with. So the more you walk in principles, the less you'll be in need of miracles. I'm going to say this again. The more you walk in principles, the more you walk in practical, everyday principles. Principles are like laws that you can't get around. Like you can't get around the law of gravity. It's a principle that lasts. And there are certain principles that you cannot get around. You cannot stay in bed to 3 p.m. and say, don't nobody want to hire me. No, you got to get up. That's a principle. You don't need a miracle. You need to get your behind out of the bed, put in some applications. Sometimes it's more simple than what we make it. Now, let me read this, and this is interesting. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 23. Read this.
Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles.
So Paul was explaining why it was so hard for him to get people to understand Christ crucified. He said because Jews demand a sign. They wanted to see something miraculous. And the Greeks, they wanted some deep philosophical thing. But here's the thing. Jesus was too simple. The reason why they missed him, he was too simple. They were waiting for a king to come overthrow Rome, and he showed up in a manger. So they rejected him because it was too simple. And they didn't want it because they wanted something grand, and they wanted something amazing. Here's the thing. The fact that you are breathing, that's amazing enough. God don't have to do anything else. He puts breath in your body. That's good enough. The fact that when you cut your arm, it heals on its own. That's miracle enough. God has done all he needs to do. How about you just receive? But the Jews, they demanded a sign. In other words, here's a tree here. Make this tree disappear, and I believe in what you're talking about. And Paul was saying, it's not about that, because the truth of the matter is, Jesus came doing all kinds of signs. You still didn't believe. He raised people from the dead. He opened the blinded eyes. He did all of that. And then they said, well, get off the cross and then we'll believe you. Here's the thing. If you just go for signs, I got to always give you a sign. Let me go back to the relationship example real quick. You ever, I know none of y'all women in here, but men, have you ever dated a woman that you always got to be buying something for her to believe that you love her? You in a Mercedes with a ring on your finger and a mink on your shoulders, and you talking about you don't love me. How about you look at what I've already done? But ungrateful people, they demand a sign. That's what the Jews did. But the Greek folk, because they were like Aristotle and all that stuff, they in Plato, they wanted something deep. It was too simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what else we got to do? Believe. Well, what else we got to do? Believe. Well, what else we got to do? Well, that's too simple. And I don't want it. Sometimes the easiest things are simple. Sometimes the greatest things are simple. Don't reject it because it's simple. Do you know I only wear suits because I like to wear suits? I don't need to wear a suit to be anointed. I can be up here in Hawaiian shirt and shorts and still be anointed. It's not about what I'm wearing. It's about the effectiveness of the ministry of God. I just wear them because I like suits. But it's not in the suit. It's not in the microphone. It's not in the podium. It's in the power of God. And as long as the power of God is present, accept it. The man named Naaman, who was told, who his body was full of leprosy, and the man of God told him, go dip in the Jordan. And that was too low for him. He was someone of high degree. And he was like, couldn't you told me to go into a cleaner river? But here's the problem. You're the one that has leprosy. And this is what the man of God is telling you to do. And it had to be a little servant girl to come and tell him, don't you understand? If you want to be changed, how about you just follow the simple instruction? And God will turn things around. And that's what he did. He followed it. But many of us are missing it because we want something deep, want something great. We want somebody to fall out over us and prophesy. And sometimes it's just something simple. You need to forgive. Well, I don't know. I don't want to hear that. I want you to prophesy over me. Okay, I'm going to prophesy. Thus says the Lord, you need to forgive. I'm going to tell you the same thing. Because it's your bitterness that's holding you from your blessings. It's not deep. It's not grandiose. It's not supernatural. It's simple. All right. Number three. Now, I'm going to put this up as we round toward a close. Simple doesn't necessarily mean easy. Just because I'm saying simple doesn't mean it's easy. Let me put this up. I've seen this floating around the internet, and I like this. Put that up for me. Everybody groan until it's time to communicate or apologize. Communication is simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. If you make me mad, it's easier for me to go tell her than it is for me to come tell you. Because it's something about our humanity and our pride, even though it's simple, doesn't make it easy. It's easier for me not to confront you and talk to her about you because it's easier to do. Just because it's simple doesn't mean it's not hard. Some of the simplest things you'll do is hard. Why is it so hard to say these two words, I'm sorry? It's funny. My little daughter is sweet as apple pie. But when she's wrong and it's her turn to apologize, honey, she gets into all kind of theatrics. She is an Oscar award winning actress. I can't do it. My back hurts. Just say you're sorry. She go through all that stuff. Even though it's simple, it's hard. Because our pride gets in the way. And some of y'all are not as dramatic, but you're the same way. If somebody hurts me, it's easier to hold a grudge. The simple thing to do is let it go. And sometimes salvation is in the simplification of life. And sometimes it's so simple, but it's still kind of hard. Let me get out of that, because I might be stepping on your toes too hard. Let me take it and make it just something practical. Put this up. Save or spend, you choose. Saving is simple, but it's so hard. You know your kids got to go to college one day, but it's so far off. I'm not thinking about that. But then when it gets closer, you'd be like, man, I wish I would have saved. It was simple, but it's hard. It's simple to take out of your check every month, but it's also difficult to do because we are human beings, and sometimes the simple thing is the thing that we run away from. It's simple when you don't have the money and all you have is a credit card that's close to it being maxed out anyway. It's simple to just put the card back in your pocket and walk away from the dress that you probably ain't gonna wear anyway. But it's just easier to swipe because it's retail therapy. It makes me feel good. But the simple thing sometimes is hard. So we have to understand sometimes salvation comes through the simple things, but the simple things are often difficult to do. And sometimes you just got to look yourself in the mirror and you have to tell yourself, no. I'm not trying to act like it. Sometimes it hurts to say no. Let me tell you, I'm not talking about y'all. I know I'm bad. One day, I just pray for me. One day, I was working on workout goals. And so I went to the Y, and I was in the parking lot, and I looked over, and there was McDonald's. And I was supposed to go to the Y, but I just all of a sudden had a craving for a hot fudge sundae. So I backed out of the Y parking lot and went to the McDonald's and got a hot fudge sundae and went back to the Y parking lot and ate my sundae. And then I was too tired to go into the Y and drove home. Oh, it would have been simpler to just walk in. But in that moment, it was hard because we're dealing with our flesh. But sometimes God is saying your deliverance and your salvation is in the simple things. And if we can, basically what I'm saying, if we can get back to the basics, we can find deliverance, we can find growth, we can find healing, we can find blessing, we can find forgiveness, we can find prosperity, but we have to be willing to do the simple things even when they're hard. so-and-so don't like me. The easy thing is to not like them back. But if you're a Christian, the hard thing, which is also simple, just love them when they're not loving towards you. I'm not saying that it's easy, but it's simple. You can break down walls with love. So easy, but so hard at the same time. Now, before I move on, because I'm coming to a close, I want to go back to that communication piece. Marriages, churches, governments have been destroyed over simple communication. But once you have gone so far without communicating, it's so hard to reverse that course. Once you can be married for a while and just get to the place where all y'all do is grunt. She know what that mean. Pass me. You don't speak. No, how's your day? Because it's easy to get in a rut, but it's simple to communicate, but we have to sometimes force ourselves to do the simple thing. All right, so number four, we must protect our simplicity. We must protect. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues, the forces of life. We have to protect our simplicity. And sometimes that means getting away from people that complicate your life. All the negative people in your life, that every time I'm around them, they complicate my life. I love you. You might be my family. You might be my mom and my dad. But I got to protect my simplicity. I need a break from you. I need a break from them. I need to pull myself away. And sometimes you can't always get away. You got to learn how to get away in your mind. You got to learn how to sometimes just disengage in your mind so you can get some peace and protect your simplicity. Sometimes you got to protect it at all costs, because we're living in a crazy world with crazy people who don't know they're crazy. You know they're crazy, but they don't know they're crazy. And if you keep talking to them, you're going to be crazy. Listen to their crazy self. So you got to protect your simplicity. You need a pill, but I need a pill. Listen to you, because you need a pill. We need to protect our simplicity. I got to pray just to deal with you. Sometimes when you clock in, you got to clock in praying, because it's so much junk there. I got to protect the simplicity of my mind, because I'm going to lose the salvation and the deliverance if I don't keep it simple, saints. So I got to do stuff. Now, I learned this. I had a boss that was getting on my absolute nerves. The first time I had ever actually yelled at a boss, to the point where the person who rolled with me said, I didn't know you had that in you, Andre. You turned into something different. But what I realized later on is that this person was just on an ego trip. My boss was. And my answer was so simple. And I didn't know it. I was bucking against him. And finally, I figured it out. It was so simple. Whenever he told me to do something, all I had to do was say, okay. In his mind, that meant I did everything he wanted done, and he would leave me alone, and all I had to do was say, okay, I need you to go and do this. Smile and give him the thumbs up. The person who was supposed to do it would get around doing it, and the guy would come back to me, give me a thumbs up too. I didn't do what he told me to do, but instead of getting all mad and start saying, that ain't my job, who you think you are? Gave him a smile and a thumb. And before I stopped working for him, he loved me. He would do all kinds of stuff for me. And it was so simple. Instead of me going and arguing over everything, pray about it and come in with a strategy of simplicity, and God smoothed it all out. All right, let's go on. Sometimes in your home, it's simple. You know how hard it is to go and buy flowers and bring it home to your wife? It's not that hard. When you don't know how she is, when she PMS and she's so mean, I understand all that. But you know how simple it is to go down and grab something and change her whole day? Do you know how simple it is just to rub his head in the midnight hour? Do you know how simple it is? Some of your problems would go away if you would return to simplicity. It's simple. Sometimes it's as simple as locking the door and keeping the kids out. The problem I have as a pastor is single folk keep doing it, but married folk won't get together. I'm trying to get that switch that the single folk stop and the married folk start. I don't know how we got it turned around. Some of your marriage would change overnight by just going to bed and doing what God created for you to do. You can't have a headache every night. Protect simplicity. Let me get off of that. Two more verses, and we're going to close. 2 Corinthians 1 and 2.
For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity.
We behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity.
Not by earthly.
Hold on, let me say something. You should never hear about your pastor, that man sure is wild, man. That's a wild fella. No, there ought to be an air about me that is in godly sincerity and simplicity. He's kind. He's nice. It shouldn't be all these crazy things. Read some more.
Not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you.
Last verse.
But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ.
I know I'm being comical and on purpose, but this is where we're going to close from. He says, just like the serpent tricked Eve, you can be tricked and be corrupted out of your simplicity. Here's the thing. Eve went, and the stuff that the devil or the serpent was saying to her cost us everything. And all she had to do is, in her simplicity, remember, God has given us everything but this one. Why do I want this one when he's given us everything? It was such a simple answer to walk away and tell the serpent to shut up. But sometimes the serpent has a way of making something so simple, so complicated. And she got to thinking that God doesn't want us to be like him. And God's holding back from us. And then she start going down that path and Adam joined. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. But the answer was so simple. There's salvation in simplification. I'll put it up one more time as we close. K-I-S-S, keep it simple, saints. Keep it simple. And how can I say it as we close? I'll say it to this. It's so simple. Read your Bible. Talk to your God. If you would do those two things throughout the week, I'm talking about how simple it is. Read your word. Talk to your God. Read your word. Talk to your God. You may not have time for Dr. Phil. You may not have time for Jerry Springer. Read your word. Talk to your God. It's so simple, but your life will grow. Keep it simple, saints. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Salvation by simplification.